Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. I would probably say, Eric, that one of the more uncomfortable duties as a minister of the gospel is when I've been asked to perform a funeral service. Funerals are interesting. If it's a Christian believer, that's a whole different ball game. But I would think in the case of a person where you're not really sure what their commitment was to Christ, that makes it a little more difficult. Because one of the things I promise myself is that I would never lie at a funeral.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like to lie anywhere. Don't get me wrong. That's not my only qualification. I don't like to lie at all. I don't want to lie at funerals.
Well, and you have the family there, and you have people who love this person, and you want to say something nice. Mm-hmm. But how far do you go before you're into territory that you shouldn't be, because it's not being truthful?
Right. I remember I was asked to go talk to a man. He was a Vietnam veteran, and I can't remember exactly why he had some kind of disease, and he was dying. And it was a sad situation, and a lady in our church, I think this was her brother or something. So she asked me to go talk to him at the hospital. He was not a believer, but I shared the gospel with him, and he embraced Christ that night. And I was able to do his funeral. That was encouraging. Now, a Mormon would probably laugh at that because deathbed salvations are something that they don't believe in, even though, strangely enough, you have Mormons who think they're going to get right after they die. How many times have we heard that? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be able to get right after I die, but yet they don't like deathbed salvations. But I've been to several Mormon funerals, and one of the things that I noticed in attending them is the tendency for Mormons to set aside their doctrine when it comes to the real requirements to exaltation. They'll set it aside, and they almost lie to themselves in order to make the family feel better. Let me give you an example. I was at one funeral, and I happened to know a person who was related to the deceased. And she was telling me about this individual, and it sounds like he was a really nice guy, but his commitment to Mormonism was very, very nominal, if that. And yet, the talk from the bishop when he was describing this person, and this bishop actually said how he had only convinced this person to go to the temple within the last year of his life. Now, this man did not die young. And I thought, well, that would tell you right off the bat, this person's probably not very committed, that the bishop has to kind of coax him into going to the temple the last year of his life. But yet the bishop was talking as if this person was definitely going to be with all his family members in heaven. Well, you and I both know the only way he's going to be with his family members in heaven is if all his family members are in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that not every Mormon is qualified to get into the celestial kingdom because they're not keeping celestial law.
Let alone the guy that you're talking about.
Well, exactly, because I remember standing in the foyer, and I was talking with this person that I know, and her daughter came up, and her daughter had talked during the service in a eulogy, and she came up and was saying to her mom, yeah, I wanted to say how, you know, during vacations, Grandpa and I would get up early and go down and grab a Starbucks, but I just didn't think that would be appropriate. Now, of course, in a Mormon setting, it wouldn't be appropriate. You don't do that in Mormonism. But yet it shows where this individual's heart was. He was clearly violating the word of wisdom, where if he had let the bishop know he was doing that, he wouldn't have even qualified for the recommend to go to the temple, much less get into the celestial kingdom. And I've been to other ones where you could tell that the person was not a very staunch Mormon, if at all. But yet, because they have Mormon relatives that are talking, and I was at one where they all gave a very beautiful talks about the deceased. I was kind of chuckling because the way they were describing their father sounded very much like my uncle, who passed away several years ago. It sounded like he was a little rough around the edges, but really a nice guy once you really got to know him. Kind of scary and intimidating, but at the same time, you know what I'm talking about,
sure.
The kind of people. And yet the son that was talking about him was describing an individual who clearly, from my understanding of Mormonism, was not meeting the requirements of the Mormon church. The way he described him, he was clearly showing that this person was not LDS in his thinking. But then at the end, he talks about how dad was going to be with the family in eternity. And I'm thinking, I know that's a nice thought, and that's certainly a thought that many Mormons would like to own. But let's be serious. If I had met this individual, the person speaking, on the street the day before, and described my lifestyle the way he had described his father's, do you think that that Mormon would have insisted, oh yeah, you'll be in the celestial kingdom living like that? No, he wouldn't have. And yet, many times we see this different set of weight and measures, if you will, when it comes to funerals.
Well, if you were to ask that guy, if he were to die right today or tomorrow, was he going to go? He was not. No, nobody's going to know, because no Mormon can know for a definite fact that he's going to go to the celestial kingdom. So he's
you're
wishing.
Absolutely right.
He's wishing he will. He's hoping he will, but mm-hmm. he can't say.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because we know this for a fact because we ask that question of Latter-day Saints. That's one of the first questions I like to ask them is, hey, if you were to die right now, do you have the assurance that all your sins are forgiven and that you would get the best your religion has to offer? Well, the best your religion has to offer, that's code word for exaltation.
Right.
They know that. I use that phrase because I don't have to define it for them. They already know what I mean. And what are the common answers that we receive? Well, I hope so. I think so. Maybe. Or no.
But for the Christian, 1 John 5:13 says we can know that we have eternal life. And I think that's one of the things that can bring a peace that passes all understanding. And unfortunately, if you're a Latter-day Saint out there, you have to realize that there really is the ability to know that you are in a relationship with Jesus that will never go away, and it's not based on what you do. But that so many Mormons are depending on their own works to be able to get them to the best.
What does Mormon Apostle Richard G. Scott say about this? I know he had a stern warning regarding funerals.
He says this. This is a conference edition of The Ensign, May 2001, on page 9. Richard G. Scott, the Apostle, says, time and time again at funerals, statements are made that the deceased will inherit all blessings of celestial glory when that individual has in no way qualified by obtaining the necessary ordinances and by keeping the required covenants. That won't happen. Such blessing can only be earned by meeting the Lord's requirements. His mercy does not overcome the requirements of his law. They must be met.
Don't give false hope is what I read in that quotation. But yet, how many times when I've been at Mormon funerals that's exactly what they do? They tend to fudge on Article 13. We believe in being honest. But at a funeral, for some reason, it seems okay among Latter-day Saints to give a false hope to the people that are sitting there.
Now, you've been to a number of LDS funerals. I haven't. Tell me a little bit about what's unique about an LDS funeral.
Oh, they're not really all that unique. They're pretty much the same. You know, a lot of family members get up and say good things about the deceased. I don't have a problem with that. Mormons are basically good people. They really mm-hmm. are. But here's the interesting thing. You know how you and I are often accused of hating Mormons?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it then when I go there, I feel so grieved and I feel so bad for them? If I really hated them, I would leave smiling, think, oh yeah, they're all, you know, they're frying.
They got their just desserts.
Yeah, they got their just desserts, but that's not the feeling we have. You read Mormon obituaries, your heart grieves.
I read the Salt Lake Tribune. I hate to admit that, but I do. And and
liberal.
Every day they have 2 pages practically in the Sunday, 3 or 4 pages of obituaries. And I'll usually pick 3 or 4 that seem to be the most interesting. And I will read them word for word. And typically they're LDS, because 60% mm-hmm. of everybody who lives here is LDS, right. And they always make it a big point that they're LDS and throughout. It grieves me when I read some of the stories, and just like it would be for anybody else, but I realize not only is it a horrible ending, you know, they died in an auto accident. I read this morning a woman who died at the age of 42, horrible accident, left behind a child, and I'm just thinking, you know, not only that, but what kind of eternal future? So it does grieve me.
And even when we hear about cases on the news, and you can only tell when they're given the news story, like let's say there was a house fire or something, and they show the inside, and there's the typical picture of the Mormon Jesus on the wall or a Mormon temple on the wall. We don't rejoice in that. I feel bad about that. I don't like to see people suffer. That bothers me. And even if they're LDS, so this is why, folks, if you wonder why we get a little bit excited when we, to use the word mildly, we get a little bit upset when we hear Mormons naturally accusing us of hatred simply because we disagree with Mormon theology, you can understand why that upsets us. It's just not true. It's bearing false witness. And yet, I have to ask this. If Mormonism is true and a Mormon accuses us of that and it's not true, they don't know who we are. I just got an email the other day from a woman who goes on talking about how hateful we are and things like that. She doesn't know who we are. Mormons will often write that. They don't know who we are personally. They bear false witness. Do they ever repent of that sin? Do they ever repent of that sin? And the reason I'm asking this, folks, is because if Mormonism is true, in order for that sin to be taken care of in a Mormon's life, they must repent of it. In other words, they must confess it and never do it again. Yet, how many Mormons even feel inclined to confess an accusation like that? They don't, because they think they're right, even though they're still wrong.
This is not a game to us.
No,
life and death, and we live very short lives here on this earth. I do believe in eternity. I believe there is a true God. I believe that there is a Christian gospel. And if Mormonism is not true, I think it behooves me to do everything I can to let those Latter-day Saints who are going to be in the obituary someday, to let them know the truth. And if Mormonism is true, they need to do the same. But we don't take this as a game, and we're certainly not hating the individuals. We love the Mormons. Otherwise, we would not have moved to Utah.
Exactly. There would be no reason for us to want to risk our social lives living in a community where naturally the majority does not agree with us. And if we are outspoken in our disagreement, would tend to want to distance themselves from us. We're basically social people. But the fact is, folks, is this, as Eric has said, this is not a game with us. We take this very seriously. This has eternal consequences. And we want to present the truth to the Mormon people as best we can so that they can have the same hope that we have.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.